Well, hey, folks, you're listening to CKOW 95.9 FM. This is your Art Talk radio show, and you're here with co-host Derek Bruckner, Zoe LeBrun, my other steady and fast co-host is away today, but we'll be back next week here at Thursday at 5:30 as usual. Today we have one guest. We have artist and educator Mark Neufeld. It's been a while since we've had Mark on. I think it was probably, what, at least a decade ago, Mark, probably?
I guess so, yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, so we're here to talk about a few things with Mark. Mark currently has a show up at CCAP. It's an exhibition up there. And then he's also doing something at the Outpost and on Video Pool that's happening, I think, what, the 30th?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it is scheduled for the 30th, but they apparently had ice damage.
That's right. The Art Space building has had some problems with the plumbing. The plumbing froze during this deep freeze that Winnipeg recently had, and so the entire building has been affected by it.
I just learned of this today when I was checking in with Luther, the curator, about the event, because I thought, okay, I want to plug the event. I think it's still scheduled for the 30th, and they think they'll be done the repairs on the 28th.
That's what I heard, yeah. Yes. So I was talking to Zoe, who works at, my co-host, who works at Platform Gallery, which is also in the same building, and she was saying, yeah, the 28th, they're supposed to have it all repaired.
But yeah.
But until then, there's no bathrooms or water that's working in the entire building.
That's Winnipeg, huh?
Yeah. So maybe what we can do maybe is people can watch on maybe Video Pool and CCAP's website for updates regarding your talk.
Sure. And CCAP's website, that's CAP.
Okay.
Center for Culture and Production, something like that.
I think it was Center for Contemporary Art Practice.
I got it wrong. You're right. I think I had this idea in my head before, and then I corrected it, and then I went back to my old... Yes, yeah. Center for Contemporary Art Practices.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, but anyways, it's a space run by Luther, and I think it's a really interesting space. I think it's... Yeah, it began as Blinkers, and mm-hmm. then it transformed, and Luther's kind of taken the helm, and I think it's really good space.
It is a great space.
Yeah.
I think Luther's doing a great job there.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce Luther's last name.
I think it's Conadu.
Conadu.
Yeah. Conadu.
Yeah, so shout out to Luther Conadu and CCAP Space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Julie O, the other artist in the show.
Yeah, I don't know much about Julia O in the show. Like, do you? Okay.
You know, she's, what I know, she's a great, great person, interesting artist. I think she's from Saskatchewan originally.
Okay.
But she's now in Newfoundland. Her partner moved to Newfoundland, and they're running, there's a biennial in Newfoundland, something biennial. I forget what it's called. Bonaventure. Okay. Is there a place in Newfoundland called Bonaventure?
Don't know.
It's like the Bonaventure Biennial or something.
Okay.
So she lives there now on the coast. Yeah. It sounds like a wild place to live.
Yeah. I mean, she had like interesting sculpture work along with your paintings. But we're here to talk about your paintings, the video that's at CCAP, which I think is a revised version of an earlier video, that same video that you'd showed a while ago.
Yeah. Also almost a decade old.
Is it that old?
Yeah. Okay. It's from 2016.
Okay. I remember seeing it in 2019, and I really liked it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then so the plan is that if the Outpost is open on the 30th, it's going to happen at some point. If it doesn't happen on the 30th, but you're going to show video work and give an artist talk, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a kind of a screening where I'm going to show a couple of, sometimes I call them film projects, sometimes I call them video pieces, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, but video, time-based work, I don't know what people like to say.
Time-based work.
Screen, let's just say videos.
Yeah.
I'm going to show, like a little selection of video pieces that I've done, including one of the, it's called Worker Entering a Factory. And it's that's the one that was I shot it at the old studio that burnt down.
Yeah.
And so this will be the first screening of that actually here in Winnipeg.
Okay.
So that'll be exciting.
Great. And is that the one where you were working with dancers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freya Olofsson helped choreograph.
Yeah.
For a segment, and yeah, it was a really kind of sprawling project and kind of intense. And I'm a painter, so you know, a painter making film is like, why would you do that?
Well, I like I'm a painter who who makes video too now. Like I'm making more video than paintings now. So
right.
It's like, but I feel like for me, it's like it's that pictorial rectangular space, except it's moving.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And I think they were called, you know, they're called movies because they were like moving pictures. And
right.
And so there's this history of film picking up in a way where painting leaves off.
Yeah.
You know, and even this kind of like old idea of the Gesamtkunstwerk, like the total artwork, that this idea that comes out of Wagner in the 19th century, where you have, you know, you have music, you have like libretto or text,
yeah.
And you have image, and you have sculpture, and you put them all together into one, and then, you know, the technology of film arrived, and it seemed like the perfect vehicle for that.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting too, and I think that, you know, we're going maybe a little off topic here, but I think like that also, I think, prompts a lot of changes in painting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Totally. I mean, it pushes painting to abstraction. It lays down a gauntlet of a challenge for like dynamism and movement, you know, which kind of leads to action painting and
yeah. So I think it's interesting. Yeah. Also that we had this collaboration that last night that happened at New Music Festival, and it's also working with video and music and so with Freya also.
Yes, well. Also with Freya. Yeah. That's funny.
So
just fortuitous or whatever, interesting fluke that these things kind of line up.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really fun, Derek.
I thought it worked really well. So I don't know, we've got maybe about 20 minutes left here, but I'm wondering if we can talk about your paintings in the show.
Sure. Yeah, happily. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I made a comment, we were kind of chatting in the green room about a number of topics, and I kind of said to you, like, I thought that in some ways the paintings were about kind of windows, but also about this idea of pictorial modernism.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, where do you sort of see that comment kind of agreeing with it, or where do you feel like it's I've missed the point maybe?
No, I think that's definitely in there. I mean, I think like I kind of got interested in the idea of the window as a pictorial device probably a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've kind of gone into and then moved off to other things and then kind of come back around to that idea.
Yeah. I mean, would you say, just to interrupt for a second, would you say like that idea is kind of like maybe what connects the 20th century to the rest of the history of painting? Do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think of, I don't know if you ever read that essay on the Optical Unconscious, Rosalind Krauss, where she talks about grids.
Yeah. I mean, I've read the grid essay itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was a terrifying former teacher of mine, and so
she taught you.
Yeah, she was terrifying.
I bet she was terrifying.
She was.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I think you probably maybe you told me that and I forgot, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that's kind of there in terms of like the pictures, like the window is a kind of it's already a grid. You know, at least certainly these ones are. They show up in the paintings as grids because they're like in a way they're early 20th century windows. They're my studio windows at this old factory. Just off Higgins, right?
Annabella.
Annabella, yeah. 90 Annabella. So they're these great like early 20th century windows that have weirdly chicken wire like cooked into the glass as a kind of early, I guess, shatterproof.
Oh, okay.
Shatterproof glass.
Okay.
And so this is where my studio is, and for sure this question of like flatness and deep space
right.
is sort of baked into the idea in a way. And I'm playing with that in the paintings because I'm putting things in front of the view. So you have a view. So it's a kind of complexity that shows up in the paintings. Not in all of them, yeah. but in a number of them. One or two being very kind of complex spaces, for me anyways.
For me too as well.
Yeah.
I think. Like, for me, like, I feel like it's like you're kind of working with this idea, like, literally the idea of a window, but it's also this, like, representation of a viewer looking through the window, and there's a progression of space, mm-hmm. but then also there's this kind of, in my mind, this reference of modernism, where there's an actual acknowledgement of the surface as a two-dimensional surface and the reality of materials on the surface too, as well. So there's this kind of nice interplay between those ideas, I think.
Right. Yeah. That's how I see them, for sure. I think that's a good read.
And then, of course, the other thing that's going on is that you're actually using an airbrush in them.
Right,
which is, and we had a talk about this a couple of days ago.
Mind
repeating this, is that, you know, we talked about, like, how we both went to art school and most professors didn't really like the idea of using airbrush.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like painting and contemporary art in general now is so wide open that it's like, it's really about developing a context for anything, I think,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the town that I grew up with, out on the West Coast, there was a van that used to drive around the town, and there was like a kind of a Battlestar Galactica scene airbrushed onto the side of it.
Yeah.
And probably as a kid seeing that, I was probably pretty psyched about it. But then I absorbed quite quickly the sort of modernist disdain for that sort of like fantasy art. And so the airbrush for me was always a fantasy art idea. But then as you move forward in painting, you kind of absorb a kind of critique of all representation as fantasy art in a way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's true.
Yeah.
But I think one absorbs that.
Yeah.
So, you know, then it's like, well, why not the airbrush? But I don't really like using the airbrush.
Yeah.
So I actually really wanted the look of it to be in certain parts of the painting.
You were mentioning like the process is it's an interrupting type of process that kind of gets in the way of the workflow of doing the painting.
Yeah, it's an awkward workflow. Now, I think if I got better at learning how to use it, so maybe I'm using a better cleaner so it doesn't get clogged as often. Because the workflow of picking it up and spraying it is not so bad.
Yeah.
But it's when you have it in your mind, okay, now I'm going to use the airbrush and I'm going to do this thing and I'll be done in 5 minutes.
And then
all of a sudden, an hour later, you're pulling the thing apart with a magnifying glass because the parts are so small. And, you know, you find some tiny bit of, like, dried acrylic paint in there. Whereas the brush, I mean, you know, the brush is just so immediate, right?
Yeah. No, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would annoy me too.
Yeah.
It's like, But I think it's interesting that you're kind of working with the airbrush nonetheless. As a painter, you're thinking about like all these different sort of physical applications and the reality of the material. And I feel like, well, the airbrush aesthetic is just part of that plethora of what the physicality material can do.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah. And it's a kind of semiotic as well. Like it communicates a certain, to me, it communicates a certain kind of culture or low culture. I mean, not that I'm painting dragons or wizards or anything with it. But the look of it to me has that kind of reference. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so the materiality has a cultural reference.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting you bring up semiotics with it, too. Can we talk about semiotics in relation to painting?
Sure, like, yeah.
You know, for you, like, how does, like I, going to grad school, like, I was bombarded with all this post-structuralist theory,
mm-hmm.
and I found myself kind of struggling to reconcile with it as a painter at that point in time.
Right.
I mean, this is 30 years ago, but
yeah.
For you, like, how do you kind of fit semiotics into painting?
I mean, I talk about it with students sometimes, you know, like, I sort of use, like, the... Charles Sanders Peirce, just the basic, like, whatever, like, three-part structure of, like,
Signified,
iconic, yeah, symbolic representation, iconic representation, and indexical representation.
Okay.
And I think, you know, painting, like, the indexical is, like, for painting, the indexical is, like, touch, right? It's, like, where the brush touches the paint,
okay,
and you see a trace of it. That Charles Sanders Peirce used, maybe, I don't know, some others have used the examples of, like, you know, where there's smoke, you see smoke, and so there's fire.
Okay.
That's indexical, or footprints on the beach.
Okay.
So it's a physical interaction, right?
Okay.
Is indexical,
okay,
representation. And so, you know, in like in a painting, like where the impasto, where the brush has touched the paint and left a mark, a trace in it, or let's say fingerprints on the painting, that would be indexical. And then there's like symbolic, which is like symbolic would be like the Virgin Mary's blue, the
okay,
ultramarine or lapis lazuli.
Okay.
Or no, wait. Symbolic would be more like a painting of a dove signifies the Holy Spirit or something like that.
Okay. So you're talking about like iconography and imagery,
yeah,
serve as sort of like archetypes or,
yeah, and then iconic representation would be like anything recognizable, like a person,
yeah.
or a picture of a recognizable.
Okay.
But I mean, how? But I guess that's this Charles Sanders Peirce thing, I think, as it relates to pictures. Or as it relates to painting.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it's more like I use semiotic as just a little bit more loosely, like as the way style signifies, like the way painter, like a okay, painting in a certain style signifies a certain worldview or something like that.
Okay, so you kind of see like the style. When you say worldview, do you mean like ideology?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, that's what's interesting about painting in the 21st century is that there's so much options and so many, mm-hmm, so many ways to go. And in some ways, like it's kind of, it's all these revived languages that are just combined in different ways. I think.
Right.
Like that's the way I kind of see, painting kind of keeping alive, I guess, in
mm-hmm,
that way, I think is, there's a rejigging of all the parts, I think,
yeah,
in some ways.
Yeah. I also think like, you know, maybe in the period of late modernism or early postmodernism, the long history of painting was seen as baggage. But I also think like
everything kind of has baggage.
Everything has baggage. Yeah. Now,
yeah,
certainly. And so at the same time, the long history becomes a kind of, you know, grab bag of devices that you can employ,
yeah,
and use to create, yeah, a kind of newish
yeah,
text of references,
yeah, or at least something that hasn't been explored that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's not new, at least it's something that's you're in terrain that's maybe unexplored. You
mm-hmm
know, it's like, which I think is interesting. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Mark Neufeld, artist and educator. We're in the middle of a conversation about we've been talking about a number of things, painting in general, but he's got a show up right now at CCAP and video work. And maybe we can talk about the times and dates and things like that. I believe,
oh, yeah,
the show is open until, what, February 8th, Mark? Is that...
Yeah, let me find that again here. I just got using my phone to look at the dates.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, February 8th. That's right. It's up until February 8th. It's at CCAP. Should I give you the address?
Yeah, yeah. Give us all the whole details.
It's 520 Hargrave Street, so that's downtown.
It's, yeah, it's like
that paint store. What's that paint store called?
Oh, Western Paint.
Yeah.
So it's right across from Western Paint on Hargrave, so it's like near the corner of Hargrave and William.
And, yes,
and yeah, it's easy parking and
easy, yeah, parking. The hours are a little bit,
yeah.
So the hours are Thursday and Friday, 4 to 8 p.m.
Yeah,
and Saturday 12 to 5 p.m.
Yeah,
I think you can book an appointment too, but
yeah,
better to just go Thursday and Friday 4 to 8 p.m. Saturday 12 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, so
there's that brewery there too, so you can,
yeah,
drink after.
That's right, and. Yeah, and it's a very interesting space. If you haven't seen CCAF, I strongly recommend you see it. And Mark's got, what, four or five paintings, I think?
Three paintings. Yeah, and, three paintings and a video.
And, yeah, so video is downstairs in the space, and upstairs you've got the paintings. And
mm-hmm. There are actually, let's see, there are actually seven paintings there, but Luther has four of them in his office.
Oh.
and he's actually swapped a couple out over the course of the exhibition.
Yeah, like I thought when I was there, like I was there about a month ago, just shortly after your opening, and I thought there were four paintings up, but maybe there was only three. I don't know.
I think it's just three.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, and then it's Julio's sculptures.
Right.
Which are these kind of Duchampian found object ready-made, a bit of both.
Yeah, and kind of like placed in the space, kind of almost to kind of challenge the viewer to find them in some ways. Like,
right.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, so which I thought
self-effacing or something, could you say?
Maybe.
A little bit?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely it seems to be about this kind of playing around with the expectation of the viewer and the object or something in the space. Yeah.
I liked your piece, Audience. All these stuffed animals high up on a...
Yeah, that's the thing I'm thinking of.
And so it's kind of funny because you go into the space...
You don't even see it until
you... No, you don't see it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, maybe they're the audience for my paintings in a way because they're kind of facing into the gallery where you see... And my paintings are not self-effacing. They're quite sort of...
Yeah, I mean, they're big.
Yeah, they're big and they're kind of loud. And, and so... But then you find out about her piece, Audience, and because it's stuffed animals... But they look quite used, and then you find out that they're all dog toys.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and then you think of somebody. How do you track down that many dog toys? Because there's like 30 stuffed animals.
Yeah, and I was looking at them like where did she get these all?
Yeah,
because I'm thinking I've seen dog toys. Before, but they were kind of like did she alter them at all? Or like,
I don't think so. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Yeah, like that's
so there are all these animals that have been like sort of slobbered on by real, like fake animals that have been slobbered on and chewed by real animals, which is kind of great.
And so, like, you know, how does that fit in with your paintings? Well, we should have had Luther come in for the interview.
Yeah, we should have Luther come in. Yeah,
because I'm sure he would have given a great explanation for that.
Yeah.
So. So the other thing is the Outpost at Video Pool. Mark is going to give an artist talk and a presentation of his video work, and that's we're tentatively hoping it's still going to happen on the 30th, but that's going to depend on all the plumbing renovations that are happening in the Art Space building.
Yeah,
but we'll keep you posted on that for sure.
Yeah, that'll be an artist talk on like the show at CCAP and a screening, so it's kind of going to be like a bit of a interesting you know, hybrid kind of thing. And I don't know, I think I may show like three videos, so maybe like half an hour of video, not the one that's in CCAP, and then you know, talk about the videos and talk about the paintings and talk a little bit about how they interrelate and how they don't interrelate and yada yada.
So Mark, I'm wondering, like, you know, the interview is going to wrap up soon. Maybe we got maybe about 3 or 4 minutes left of conversation. But I'm wondering maybe, and we kind of touched on this a little bit during the interview, but maybe can you talk about why, as a painter, like, you do time-based work, like video work?
Yeah, totally. Well, it's kind of like in keeping with some of the other things we said before about film picking up where painting, like, film sort of like... Yeah. Replacing painting, kind of,
or at least, you know, at some points, like, I mean, there's always this history of like painting is dead sort of thing, right? Like, and so that, so I think in one sense, like film and sort of, you know, creates another statement of, you know, how painting is dead, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like it's,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
it's yeah. always.
This time it's real.
Yeah, but you know, but
this
but
time here, it's personal.
Yeah, but here it is, you know, in. Yeah. You know, 2000, you know, 21st century.
Yeah.
And
film is dead.
Maybe.
Almost.
Yeah. Like,
or the distribution platforms.
Yeah. You know,
are
it's like painting's still going on.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. So yeah. And I kind of got into this idea of like, And I get this. This comes out of Boris Groys. I don't know if you know Boris
no,
Groys.
I don't.
Derek. He's
no.
like a German-Russian theory guy, media theory, but very, very active in relation.
Is he an academic in Germany?
Academic, yeah. Really into contemporary art. And he uses these terms, the vita contempliva and the vita activa. And and so, you know, so you get into this dialogue, too, about, like, okay, the painting is a static object. It embodies the vita contempliva or the contemplative life. But you actually, you know, you have to move around it, right?
Yeah.
And film, like the paradox of film is it seemed to embody the vita activa, which is this kind of radical movement and destruction in a way, you know, the way it's like image after image, thousands of images replacing each other. But, you know, you put your ass in the chair and you sit there as a passive spectator and you watch the film.
Right. Yeah, and it's you know, the engagement of time and looking at these pieces of work, like a painting versus a film, are obviously quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But but there's a there's an interesting parallel.
Yeah.
Well, great. That was good. I like that. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
So I guess we'll wrap things up, but maybe we'll just hit up the times and dates of the show again, Mark, if you can access
it. Sure. So the show, the show opened December 7th, and it runs until February 8th. Two-person show, myself with Julie O, Ice Cream Power Pinky Swear Later. We didn't even talk about the title, but I don't know if I can explain it. You need Luther for that, too.
Yeah.
And it's on Hargrave, 520 Hargrave Street.
Yeah.
What's the cross street you said again?
Near William.
Near William.
Yeah.
Come check it out. What do we say? Thursdays and Fridays, 4 to 8. Saturdays, 12 to 5 p.m.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks for doing the interview, Mark.
And, no problem.
Thank you,
Derek.
Yeah, maybe we won't wait 10 years to have you back, maybe.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
All right, folks, that's it for Eat Your Arts and Vegetables. We'll be back next Thursday at 5:30 as usual. Stay tuned for the next show, Tawny the Brave, and we'll talk to everybody back next week. Bye-bye.